Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up today, we'll listen back to last night's Democratic debate and hear what the candidate said, and then we'll ask you what you thought of what the candidate said. And before we do that, we'll hear one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we had the leader of the Florida Sierra Club give the governor a report card on how the governor has done in his first year in office in terms of Florida's environment. After the show, we got a call from a listener who said he wonders why the Sierra Club and other groups don't look more closely at the Florida Constitution and see what it says about protecting the environment.
I don't understand why the Sierra Club and other environmental groups on the state of Florida for our springs, for the Everglades, etc. We already have a law. It's in the Constitution, Article 2, Section 7. Natural resources and scenic beauty. I'll read it real quick. A, it shall be the policy of the state to conserve and protect its natural resources and scenic beauty. Adequate provision shall be made by law for the abatement of air and water pollution out of excessive and unnecessary noise and for the conservation and protection of natural resources. B, those in the Everglades agricultural area who cause water pollution within the Everglades protection area or the Everglades agricultural area shall be primarily responsible for paying the costs of the abatement of that pollution. And it goes on with some other little subsets, but it's right there in our state constitution. Why is nobody using this? Because our politicians are violating the highest laws of the state.
Well, that comment came in after yesterday's program. The Iowa caucuses, which are the first chance for candidates to see how they do in a state, candidates for president the Iowa caucuses are on February 3rd. And last night on CNN, there was the last debate about which candidate should be chosen to be the Democratic presidential nominee. Six candidates were on stage. Of course, there are many more candidates running for the Democratic nomination, but the top six, as selected by the Democratic Party, were there. We're going to hear what they said. And a lot of the focus in the news coverage after last night's debate was about the dust-up between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. We'll indeed hear that. But let's start with something that didn't get a lot of press. Let's hear the candidates discuss health care and Medicare for all. Let's go back to last night's debate, and we'll hear the six Democratic candidates who are running for the presidential nomination: Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Tom Steyer. They were all there last night at the debate, and Amy Klobuchar. And this is what they said about health care during last night's debate.
Mayor Buttigieg, you're selling your plan as Medicare for all who want it, yet your plan would automatically enroll uninsured Americans into a public option, even if they don't want it, and force them to pay for it. How is that truth in advertising?
Well, it's making sure that there is no such thing as an uninsured American. Look, the individual mandate was an important part of the ACA because the system doesn't work if there are free riders. What I'm offering is a choice. You don't have to be in my plan if there's another plan that you would rather keep. And there's no need to kick Americans off the plans that they want in order to deliver health care for all. And my plan is paid for. Look, our party should no longer hesitate to talk about the issue of the debt and the deficit. Now, we've got a dramatically better track record on it than Republicans do. In my lifetime, it's almost invariably Republican presidents who have added to the deficit, $1 trillion under this president. And it's why everything I've put forward, from Medicare for all who want it, to the historic investments we're going to make in infrastructure, to dealing with climate change, is fully paid for. When it comes to health care, you can do it in two moves. Of course, my plan costs $1.5 trillion over a decade. No small sum, but not the 20, 30, 40 that we're hearing about from the others. All I got to do is two things. Both of them are common sense. Allow Medicare to negotiate prescription drug prices and roll back the Trump corporate tax cuts that went to corporations and the wealthy that didn't even need it.
Senator Warren.
So I started this by talking about 36 million Americans, including Americans with insurance, who just can't even afford to have a prescription filled. We all talk about plans, healthcare plans that we have, and these plans are paid for. The problem is that plans like the mayor's and like the vice president's is that they are an improvement. They are an improvement over where we are right now. But they're a small improvement. And that's why it is that they cost so much less. Because by themselves, they're not going to be enough to cover prescriptions for 36 million people who can't afford to get them filled. What we need to do is make the commitment that we know where the money comes from. We can ask those at the very top, the top 1%, to pay a little more. Those giant corporations like Chevron and Amazon who paid nothing in taxes, we can have them pay. And we can go after the corporate tax cheats. And when we do that, we have enough money to provide health care for all our people. Yes, we build on the Affordable Care Act, but where we end up is we offer health care to all of our people, and we can offer it at no cost or low cost to all of them.
Mayor Buttigieg.
It's just not true that the plan I'm proposing is small. We got to move past a Washington mentality that suggests that the bigness of plans only consists of how many trillions of dollars they put through the Treasury, that the boldness of a plan only consists of how many Americans it can alienate. This would be a game changer. This would be the biggest thing we've done to American healthcare in a half century. Let's measure the effects of our plans based on what they would do in our everyday lives. And yes, we're taking on cost. On prescription drugs, we'll have an out-of-pocket cap, even if you don't get the subsidies that would make it free, a $250 monthly cap. And here's why it's got to be monthly. You ever been in that situation or known somebody who finds that they've got to defer a procedure or delay filling a prescription to try to have it happen in the right month? Because when your out-of-pocket cap hits, it makes no sense medically, because most of us don't experience the economy on an annual basis. Our bills don't come in every year. They come in every month. Same with our paychecks, biweekly or monthly. That's why we set this up in a way to solve the problem without running up $20, $30, $40 trillion.
Senator Warren, your response?
Look, the numbers that the mayor is offering just don't add up. The average family in America last year paid $12,000 in some combination of deductibles and co-pays and uncovered expenses and fees. You can't cover that with the kind of money that the mayor is talking about. The way we have to approach this is we've got to build this, and we've got to build the alliances to make this happen. I can bring down the cost of prescription drugs like insulin and take hundreds of millions of dollars out of the system immediately in cost. We can get help to families, but we have to be willing to work together. We can let people experience what healthcare is like when it's you and your doctor, your mental health professional, your nurse practitioner with no insurance company standing in the middle. When people
Senator Warren, you acknowledged that Medicare for All, that you couldn't get there right away. You got on the bill that said on page 8, which is why I didn't get on it, that you would kick 149 million Americans off their current health insurance. Then, a few months ago, you said, no, you're going to wait a while to get there. And I think that was some acknowledgement that maybe what we're talking about is true. And I don't buy that it's not enough. It is a big, big step to say to people making $100,000 a year that your premiums will be cut in half, which is what the nonprofit public option will do. And if you talk, Mayor Buttigieg, about Medicare and having negotiation, I actually have led that bill for years. I have 34 co-sponsors. As president, I can get it done. That would allow Medicare to finally negotiate and lift the ban that Big Pharma got into law that says they can't negotiate for better prices for our seniors. I will get it done.
Senator Sanders, coming to you now. CNN reached out to Iowa Democratic voters for their most pressing questions. Edward from here in Des Moines writes, Des Moines is an insurance town. What happens to all the insurance industry, the health insurance industry here, if there is Medicare for All? What happens to all the jobs and the livelihoods of the people that live in insurance towns like Des Moines?
We build into our Medicare for All program a transition fund of many, many billions of dollars that will provide for up to 5 years income and health care and job training for those people. But here is the issue. Tom Steyer made the point a moment ago. We are now spending twice as much per person on health care as do the people of any other country. That is insane. In some cases, 10 times more for prescription drugs. Why is that? Why is that? And the answer is the greed and corruption of the drug companies and the insurance companies. And if we want to do what every other major country on earth does and guarantee people health care is a human right, not a privilege, you know what we have to do? We are finally going to have to stand up to the healthcare industry and end hundreds of billions of dollars of waste and profiteering.
Mr. Steyer.
I just want to emphasize what Senator Sanders said. This is not a complicated problem. Between what Senator Warren and Senator Sanders said, it's clear. There are two problems. We're spending way too much because corporations own the system, and we're not negotiating against those corporations. And we've given tax cuts to the richest Americans and the biggest corporations for decades. That's all this is. We have corporations who are having their way with the American people, and people are suffering. Senator Warren is right. This is cruelty for money. In order to break this, we're going to have to break the corporate stranglehold and solve both the tax and the negotiating problem. That's why I'm for term limits. We need to redo Washington, D.C.,
and
actually take back the government from the corporations.
Thank you, Mr. Steyer. Vice President Biden.
I would argue that the biggest breakthrough in recent time was us being able to do in our administration what five Democratic presidents couldn't get done, and that is pass Obamacare. It was a big deal. Secondly, I would argue that the way you control drug prices is you limit what they can charge for those prices. You don't have to pay the price, limit what they can charge. If in fact they charge more than we set the price for, people can import from abroad, assuming that it is safe. We in fact, it's only yellow, wolf, okay? And we can in fact do all of this and still provide people the option to stay, the roughly 150, 160 million Americans who like the negotiated plan they have with their employers. If they don't like it or the employer gets rid of it, they can buy into a Medicare plan and the Biden plan.
Joe Biden last night during the Democratic debate. Before that, we heard Tom Steyer. We heard Bernie Sanders, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and also heard Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg at the very top. So whose plan did you like the best so far? Who made the most sense when it came to healthcare? Did none of them make sense, or did you like one plan over the other? The number to call is 813-239-9663. The email address here is dj@wmnf.org. We're going to hear some more excerpts from last night's Democratic debate in Iowa, the last one before the Iowa caucuses, and we'd like to hear from you. Our address, if you want to send an email again, is dj@wmnf.org. Biden, they're saying at the end that he wanted people to be able to buy into Medicare for all. So whose plan did you like the best? Let's listen to the most dramatic moment in last night's debate. Every news organization had a different take on the tenor of last night's debate. You'll be able to hear for yourself. Some called this a clash. But this is the segment where the report earlier this week on CNN that Bernie Sanders had 2 years ago told Elizabeth Warren that a woman could never win the presidency in the country, that came up about 40 minutes into the debate. Let's listen to the candidates' answers on that question.
CNN reported yesterday that, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement, that in 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. And I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this because this is what Donald Trump and maybe some of the media want. Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States. Go to YouTube today. There's a video of me 30 years ago talking about how a woman could become president of the United States. In 2015, I deferred, in fact, to Senator Warren. There was a movement to draft Senator Warren to run for president. And you know what? I said, stayed back. Senator Warren decided not to run, and I did run afterwards. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes. How could anybody in a million years not believe that a woman could become president of the United States? And let me be very clear. If any of the women on this stage or any of the men on this stage win the nomination, I hope that's not the case. I hope it's me. But if they do, I will do everything in my power to make sure that they are elected in order to defeat the most dangerous president in the history of our country.
So, Senator Sanders, I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
I disagreed. Bernie is my friend, and I am not here to try to fight with Bernie. But look, this question about whether or not a woman can be president has been raised, and it's time for us to attack it head on. And I think the best way to talk about who can win is by looking at people's winning record. So, can a woman beat Donald Trump? Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections. The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women, Amy and me.
So true.
And the only person on this stage who has beaten an incumbent Republican any time in the past 30 years is me. And here's what I know. The real danger that we face as Democrats is picking a candidate who can't pull our party together or someone who takes for granted big parts of the Democratic constituency. We need a candidate who will excite all parts of the Democratic Party, bring everyone in, and give everyone a Democrat to believe in. That's my plan, and that is why I'm going to win.
Well, that was the exchange between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders last night on Sanders allegedly saying 2 years ago that he didn't think that a woman could win the presidential election. Some news outlets described that as a heated moment. Maybe. It sounded fairly civil to me. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. David writes this, I really disliked that question about the insurance industry to Bernie, and it felt very disingenuous to push Des Moines as an insurance town. I would love to see how many insurance companies advertised on TV during the debate. David goes on to write, it's the same argument that the military-industrial complex pushes on Congress. You can't cut military spending because it will affect jobs in my district. My new slogan has been amended, dump Trump and dump big insurance, Bernie for president. That's a David's view out there. What's your view? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Charlie writes this, have you come across any substantiation for the claim that 150 million Americans like and want to keep their current health care plans? That's a question from Charlie. I did look that up briefly, and this is what I think this is pretty solid information. There are about 150 million Americans that have private health insurance. We have a nation of about 330 million. So, the number may be slightly higher depending on who you talk to, but somewhere between 150 million and 180 million Americans have private health insurance. Now, there was a study that came out a few years ago, actually February of 2018, and the study said that 71% of Americans are satisfied with their current employer-provided health coverage, and 56% indicated that coverage remains a key factor in their choice to stay on the current job. So there was one study that said that 71% of the public is satisfied with their current employer-provided health coverage. But there's two things about that study that I think people should know. The study was done by the private organization that represents America's for-profit health insurance companies. And the study was done by Frank Luntz, who for a long time was on Fox pretty frequently. I think he might be back on Fox. But he has largely done surveys for conservative groups. So we might take that study with a grain of salt. But still, if what the study shows is that at least 39% of Americans don't fall into that category of being satisfied with their current employer provided health coverage. And that was done by a conservative organization for an industry group. So we might look for a fairer study. And if you can find a fairer study, you can email me. My address is dj@wmnf.org. That's dj@wmnf.org. Here's an email that says, poo-poo on CNN. Not sure what that means, Bob and Largo, but thank you for that. Did you think that debate was a good debate last night? Did you watch it? 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Clark is our phone producer today, and she is screening the calls. Let's go to Laura in St. Petersburg before we go back to more sound from last night's debate. Hi, Laura. You're on WMNF.
Hi. Okay, so I'm calling about the Bernie versus Elizabeth issue.
Right.
And I'm really kind of bothered by the fact that we're even talking about it. It seems that there's so many bigger things. We've got impeachment. We've got a million different things and local issues as well. And we're talking about that. It seems that it would be really easy to speculate whether or not a woman could win. You know, I'm female. I could care less. I could care if it's a woman. You know, I don't care. I want the best person, and I really believe that Bernie feels the same way. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of a moot point. Who cares? And I really don't think that Bernie is against women winning. He might have speculated that it wouldn't be possible. I mean, do you think that's a thing?
Yeah, I think the CNN host or the questioner mischaracterized what Bernie Sanders really thought. I think the right way to approach that question would have been after Bernie made his statement and his defense saying, you know, he's got a 30-year history of saying that women should run for president. I think the CNN questioner then should have said, well, Elizabeth Warren, we heard Bernie Sanders answer. Now, what's your answer? What actually happened? I'm glad you called, Laura. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We're hearing excerpts of last night's Democratic debate right here on 88.5 FM. And finding out what you thought of the debate, including the questions about health care and about whether or not Bernie Sanders was somehow anti-woman reaching the presidency. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. We're going to hear more sound bites in just a moment. Let's go to Jim in St. Petersburg. Hey, Jim, you're on MNF. Uh-oh, we've just lost our phone system. All right, well, we're going to try to fix the phone system. Not sure what's going on, but our phone system has suddenly crashed. So, Jim, hang in there. I think our engineers are going to try to fix it. Our phone system is down. So let's go back and hear some more sound last night. In the House, Nancy Pelosi has identified the leaders of the House impeachment team. And Amy Klobuchar, the senator, was asked about impeachment last night and whether or not President Trump, if he's acquitted, would benefit from the impeachment and the trial. And here's what Amy Klobuchar said last night.
President Trump will be emboldened by acquittal.
No, we have a constitutional duty to perform here. And when I look at what the issue is, it's whether or not we're going to be able to have witnesses. We've asked for only 4 people as witnesses. And if our Republican colleagues won't allow those witnesses, they may as well give the president a crown and a scepter. They may as well make him king. And last time I checked, our country was founded on this idea. We didn't want to be ruled by a king. And I think the best way to think about this trial and what we're facing in this election is a story of a man from Primgar, Iowa. His name was Joseph Welch. He came from humble beginnings, the son of immigrants. He became the Army Counsel, and he was the one that went to the Joseph McCarthy hearings. And when McCarthy was blacklisting people and going after people because of their political beliefs or supposed political beliefs, there was only one man. Everyone that was afraid, they're afraid of being blacklisted. Joseph Welch, he stood up and looked at McCarthy and said, "Have you no sense of decency, sir? Have you no sense of decency?" This is a decency check on our government. This is a patriotism check. Not only is this trial that, but also this election. And no matter if you agree with everyone here on the stage, I say this
Thank
to
you,
Americans,
Senator Klobuchar.
You know this is a decency check on this president.
All right, that was Amy Klobuchar asking about the impeachment trial, whether or not it would help the president. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Who do you think won last night's debate if you watched it? We have a temporary problem with our phone system. And if you're out there listening, could you call our front desk and tell the front desk to tell DT, our engineer, that we have our phone system has crashed in the air studio. Julie writes this. She says, the simple fact that we still argue over whether a hypothetical woman can win the presidency shows that women as a whole are still considered a special interest group and not simply people. We're not the default. We're othered. Besides, a woman won the popular vote in 2016. How quickly we forget, writes Julie. That's Julie's take on that. 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And I know our engineers are working on this, so hopefully we'll be able to get these phone calls in the queue on the air in just a moment. Let's listen to more of last night's debate, and we're going to hear where a foreign policy question came up, and two of the candidates especially were talking about foreign policy. We're going to hear a question about Iraq and a question about Iran. Here's more from last night's debate on CNN.
In the wake of the Iran crisis, Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei has again called for all U.S. troops to be pulled out of the Middle East, something you've called for as well. Yet when American troops last left Iraq, ISIS emerged and spread terror across the Middle East and indeed around the world. How would you prevent that from happening again?
Okay, let me tell you. But before I tell you that, let me tell you something else. And that is, and I don't know if my colleagues here will agree with me or not. Maybe they will. But what we have to face as a nation is that the two great foreign policy disasters of our lifetimes were the war in Vietnam and the war in Iraq. Both of those wars were based on lies. And right now, what I fear very much is we have a president who is lying again and could drag us into a war that is even worse than the war in Iraq. To answer your question, what we need to do is have an international coalition. We cannot keep acting unilaterally. As you know, the nuclear deal with Iran was worked on with a number of our allies. We have got to undo what Trump did, bring that coalition together, and make sure that Iran never gets a nuclear weapon.
Senator Sanders, you have been attacking Vice President Biden's vote on the Iraq war, but you recently acknowledged that your vote to authorize the war in Afghanistan was also a mistake. So you both acknowledged mistakes. Why should the American people trust your judgment more?
Well, it's a little bit of a difference. On that particular vote, every single member of the House, including myself, voted for it. Only Barbara Lee voted against it. But what I understood from right away in terms of the war in Iraq, the difference here is that the war in Iraq turned out to be the worst foreign policy blunder in the modern history of this country. As Joe well knows, we lost 4,500 brave troops. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis died. We have spent trillions of dollars on that endless war, money which should go into healthcare and education and infrastructure in this country. Joe and I listened to what Dick Cheney and George Bush and Rumsfeld had to say. I thought they were lying. I didn't believe them for a moment. I took to the floor. I did everything I could to prevent that war. Joe saw it differently.
Vice President Biden.
I was asked to bring 156,000 troops home from that war, which I did. I led that effort. It was a mistake to trust that they weren't going to go to war. They said they were not going to go to war. They said they were just going to get inspectors in. The world, in fact, voted to send inspectors in, and they still went to war. From that point on, I was in the position of making the case that it was a big, big mistake. And from that point on, I moved to bring those troops home.
Well, do you think that either one of those candidates' positions on the Afghanistan war, the Iraq war, or the tense situation with Iran, do you think that any one of those is a disqualifying position for them to be the Democratic nominee? Again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Bubba writes this: hoping one of these Dems can put out the Trumpster fire. I wish they were more united against Trump, though. We can't put out the Trumpster fire by peeing on each other. That's Bubba's words out there. And then Dean writes this: I don't know whether Bernie made that comment or speculated about it, as the previous caller mentioned, but it's unfortunate and somewhat distressing because my hopes were to have a Sanders-Warren ticket. Now, maybe not so much. I don't think Bernie feels that way, and he made his point well, so now I'm left to wonder if Warren lied. That's Dean's position out there. Dean, thank you for writing in. And Kevin writes this, headlining his email, Healthcare Mumbo Jumbo. And Kevin says, trying to simplify a complex issue like healthcare is not an easy task. Talking about the law that prevents negotiating drug prices could clarify who is responsible for that one horrible decision. It was Republican President George W. Bush, says Kevin. Kevin, thank you for your thoughts. And then Jim writes this: I'm on Medicare Advantage, and I only pay the roughly $145 a month that is held out of my Social Security check. My wife wants to retire now at the age of 63 and can't because we would pay around $900 monthly just for her insurance. Why the huge difference? And that... that is a problem. Medicare Advantage is a problem out there. The insurance, private insurance companies have gotten their hooks into Medicare, and we should probably do a whole program about that. 813-239-9663. Our phone lines are now working. So if you've been trying to call in and wanted to comment about any of the topics so far, we're listening to some of the statements made during last night's Democratic presidential debate. We heard talk about Medicare for all, whether or not a woman can be president, and the controversy, the alleged controversy for Bernie Sanders telling Elizabeth Warren, allegedly, that a woman cannot be elected president. Sanders, of course, denies that and says he has a long history saying that women can be elected president. We heard a short discussion about impeachment. Amy Klobuchar was the one asked that question. And we heard Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders discuss the recent wars that the U.S. has been involved in. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And if you call in right away, you'll be able to get on right away because we've got open lines. Unfortunately, a couple of our callers got cut off. Well, Tom Steyer, the billionaire, has been taking out a lot of ads. And those ads seem to have worked because he got into the debate in Iowa on last night. So let's listen to a little bit. One of the tough questions to Steyer was this one that came in about his past investments.
Mr. Steyer, to clarify, you say you're the climate change candidate, but you made your $1.6 billion in part by investing in coal, oil, and gas. So are you the right messenger on this topic?
I absolutely am. Look, we invested in every part of the economy. And over 10 years ago, I realized that there was something going on that had to do with fossil fuels that we had to change. So I divested from fossil fuels. I took the giving pledge to give most of my money away while I'm alive. And for 12 years, I've been fighting the climate crisis. I've beat oil companies in terms of clean air laws. I've stopped fossil fuel plants in Oxnard, California. I fought the Keystone Pipeline. I have a history of over a decade of leading the climate fight successfully.
Thank you, Mr. Steyer.
So actually, yes, I am the person here who has the chops and the history that says I'll make it priority one because I've been doing it for a long time.
There you go. Tom Steyer answering a question about his past investments and his position on climate change. What did you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. So far during the process, and the process is about to really speed up, so far in this process, who do you like best running for president? Who are you most going to support? Ron in West Tampa says, Bernie presented the clearest and most consistent message regarding the Iran situation, war, and healthcare. And he spoke on climate change, which no one else really did. Bernie was the most presidential, writes Ron. And then Marco and Monica write in, could you please announce the Women's March on Saturday, January 18th? So thank you for that. You can go to womensmarch.com and see more about that. So Monica and Marco, thank you for that. And then Liz in Spring Hill writes this, now is the time to believe the one person who has not lied is beholden to no one and has consistently stood up for regular working people. Elizabeth has been caught in lies, misled, and has taken big money. She used to be a Republican. I think it's attack Bernie time with all the forces the Democratic elite can throw at him to sabotage his candidacy once again. Wine Caves Ba, writes Liz in Spring Hill. All right, so if you like any one of these candidates, you want to tell us why, who do you think would be best positioned to win the presidency? Or if you like none of these candidates and you think that President Trump is the best answer, or if you like a third-party candidate, you can call us up, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And we're getting some emails in, just one-word emails, not very helpful. Another Ron says, that's from the same Ron sending one back, saying that other candidates did talk about climate change. Well, let's try to go back to the phones again. Let's go to George in Lakeland. George, thank you for calling in. What did you think of last night's debate?
Well, I honestly didn't watch it, but I'm with Bernie. But you're mentioning climate change, and guess who else mentioned sea level rise? Governor DeSantis. He made it really clear in his State of the State address, and I think that's it. I think Republicans can't deny it anymore, at least Florida Republicans.
And George, that was pretty much the topic on yesterday's program, on yesterday's radioactivity program. Right. And we had the leader of the Sierra Club from Florida on, and he pointed out that the governor has really not lifted a finger to reduce carbon dioxide emissions, that he has
but he's talking about it, and that's something Rick Scott never did. So, I mean, he actually said it. He said sea level rise is an issue, and it's going to have
It's a good thing that he's talking about it. Should he do anything about it, or are you okay with him just talking about it? So if he had the power to reduce carbon dioxide emissions, and he does because he has control over a lot of things like the fleet that Florida's trucks and cars and all that stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, is talk enough, or should he actually, the Sierra Club critique was, he hasn't really lifted a finger.
Right. He should lift the finger and pass rebates for people to buy electric cars like other states have. I mean, New Jersey has a rebate of almost, I want to say $5,000, a state rebate if you buy an electric car. And you get to drive an HOV lane, and you get a rebate to install an electrical car charger in your home. So, yeah, I mean, he's talking, at least he needs to start doing something about it. But, I mean, I think it's remarkable, though. We have to say, at least he's talking about it. I mean,
okay.
What are the consequences? I mean, are insurance rates going to go up for coastal properties? Yes. Are property prices going to start going down on coastal properties? Yes. So, I mean, I got to give him credit for that.
Okay, George, thanks a lot.
All right.
All right, good to hear from you and to hear your thoughts. Doug writes this, I am a supporter of Warren and not happy with the Bernie thing. In America, it has been proven that no matter the qualifications, women just cannot be elected as president. The more she makes, the less I am for her. The more deals she makes, the less I am for her, writes Doug. I think Bernie has pointed out several times over the last 3 days that, and we all know this, is that Hillary Clinton, in terms of total votes during the last election, received somewhere between 2.8 million and 3 million more votes than did Donald Trump. So the question about whether or not a woman can win the election, I think the numbers show that a woman can win the election. It's just that we've got this artificial barrier in the country called the Electoral College. So in our country, it's not a pure democracy. It's not winner take all. The Electoral College gets in the middle of the votes. So Anyway, so that's my take on it. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. John in Dunedin writes, the various takes on healthcare do not matter so much because whichever Democrat is elected, it is mostly Congress that will determine the details. The distinguishing difference among candidates is consistency over time. And Sanders walks away with that one, writes John in Dunedin. So, John, thank you for that. Let's go to Eileen in St. Petersburg. Hi, Eileen. You're on MNF.
Hey, Rob. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So I agree with John from Dunedin about Bernie. My only complaint about Bernie was from the last election when he allowed the Democratic Party to manipulate him. But Bernie has been consistent his entire political career. And one of the things that impresses me about this gentleman is his mind and the way he has a computer brain. He's able to pull up facts and statistics and figures better than anyone I can recall seeing in a political environment or any environment for that matter. And to affect the change that we're wanting to see, you have to know how to make it happen. And that's something that he absolutely does know how to do. Pete Buttigieg, while I think I admire him and I applaud his heart, he does not have the experience that would be necessary. I think he would be overwhelmed with what Washington politics is really all about when he gets in there. Elizabeth Warren, I agree. I think she, you know, with her having been a Republican and now a Democrat, she manipulates things. I don't really care for her at all. But Bernie Sanders, I have the utmost respect for. I think he's an honorable man, he's a man of integrity, and he's been consistent. He has the experience, and he cares about the American people. So Bernie Sanders has my vote all the way.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you. And let's go to our next caller. This is Chuck, and Chuck is in Tampa. Hey, Chuck, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
How you doing? I agree with the lady. Bernie, he's got that kind of Steve Jobs kind of mind. And they really screwed him last time, old Bernie. And if the lady had any integrity who was asking the question, it was pretty much loaded. She pretty much said, Bernie said it. She should have asked Elizabeth Warren, are you lying about that? So Bernie really got screwed on that deal. I want to go to what Van Jones says at the end of the debate, and he basically said he didn't see anybody up there who could beat Donald Trump. He was depressed, basically.
And Chuck, are you going to vote for Donald Trump for re-election?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying, I think Bernie got the shaft. I mean, even Donald Trump said Bernie got the shaft, and I guarantee you they're gonna do it to him again, because Democrats are dishonest people. They've been giving us the shaft with the Russia hoax and everything else. Now they're going to do it to Bernie. You watch.
All right, Chuck, thanks
and
a lot.
I think that's totally wrong.
All right, Chuck, thanks a lot.
Bernie's got integrity, so, oh well.
All right, Chuck, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. 813-239-9663. Paul writes this, humanity first. Andrew Yang is by far the best candidate, in my opinion, not left, not right, but forward. Put the money in our hands, writes Paul, who says he's part of the Yang gang. And then Bob in Largo says, Bloomberg said that any of these Democratic candidates rather than Trump on Colbert last night. So there's a Bob in Largo conveying what he saw. I didn't see Colbert last night. And then Kevin writes this, where can we check the veracity of Warren's claim? It seems that there should be some way to find out the truth. Conversation that took place allegedly between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders took place, according to the news reports that broke the story, at a private dinner 2 years ago. And I think there were only two people there, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. So I don't know how easy it is to fact check that. Let's listen to a little bit of what was said last night. Here is Mayor Pete Buttigieg on a question about black support for his campaign.
Mayor Buttigieg, you say you've had trouble earning the support of black voters because you're unknown. But you've been campaigning for a year now, and polling shows you with next to no black support, support that you'll need in order to beat Donald Trump. Is it possible that black voters have gotten to know you and have simply decided to choose another candidate?
The black voters who know me best are supporting me. It's why I have the most support in South Bend. It's why among elected black officials in my community who have gotten into this race, by far most of them are supporting me. And now, nationally, I am proud that my campaign is co-chaired by a member of the Congressional Black Caucus and to have support right here in Iowa from some of the most recognizable black elected leaders, from Mayor Hart of Waterloo to former Representative Barry in Black Hawk County. Now, the biggest mistake we could make is to take black votes for granted, and I never will. The reason I have the support I do is not because any voter thinks that I'm perfect. It's because of the work that we have done facing some of the toughest issues that communities can. Not from the luxury of a debate or a television panel or a committee room, but on the ground. Issues from poverty to justice in policing. And I'm proud to say we've been nationally recognized for our work as a race-informed city on delivering greater economic justice, that we have reduced use of force by leading the region in transparency around the use of force in policing. Of course, there is a much longer way to go in my community and around the country, but I will be a president whose personal commitment is to continue doing this work.
Pete Buttigieg last night on the Democratic debate. We're going over some of the highlights of last night's debate right here on 88.5 FM, playing back some of the sound from last night's debate and getting your take on the election and the candidates. Deborah in Spring Hill writes, I suspect Bernie may have said something to the effect that there are forces against a woman becoming a president, such as the Electoral College, redistricting, and misogyny. I doubt their discussion was as black and white as the media has seized on, writes Deborah. And we're getting more calls. Let's go to Bob in Tampa. Hey, Bob, you're on WMNF. What did you think of the debate last night?
I thought it was interesting. In full disclosure, I'm a Trump supporter, but I spend probably more of my time watching CNN and MSNBC. And honestly, Bernie seems to have the most energy, but I just can't. It just doesn't seem like the candidates in the Democratic Party are serious. I can't believe at this stage that Warren would bring up that issue with Bernie. I mean, he was a ball of fire. But I think to bring this issue up seems to divide the party. And some of the topics, like Klobuchar bringing up McCarthyism and that very famous, for people that know politics and history, when Senator McCarthy was shut down by that very courageous man.
Joseph Welch, you know, yeah.
Yeah, when have you no shame? I mean, that's like when Adlai Stevenson said, I'm prepared to wait until hell freezes over during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, for people that are students of politics or history, it's like your mission. I watched it. I became an independent because I didn't like the way the Republicans were treating Trump in 16. But like I say, I watched CNN and MSNBC. The mission should be to beat Trump. And if I hear one more time that Hillary won the popular vote, well, I believe in our system, and you know we need a competition. How many Supreme Court judges do you want Republicans to add to the Supreme Court? The mission isn't the popular vote, and I think the nuclear bomb last night was this thing with Sanders and Warren about a woman can't be president. How that could come up? You're feeding upon yourselves, and as a former Republican who's independent, who's a Trump supporter, I thought it was a joke last night. I think they've lost. I think they've taken their eye off the ball. I think Bernie, who's not my cup of tea, did a magnificent job, and I think Joe Biden, who was probably a great senator, I don't know if you really watched his wrap up, but it seemed he had a little difficulty stringing the sentences together in terms of making his case at the end. And I think they really need to refocus if they want to have a serious chance at it. And I thought Mayor Pete, well, I think he's a great politician, but it seemed like it's too soon to reference a mayor in Iowa and South Bend when Biden's got like 40% of the African-American vote.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, thanks. Thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. There you go. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Byron in Sarasota. Hey, Byron, you're on WMNF.
Hi. You know, I'm tired of Bernie Sanders. He is not a Democrat. He's an independent, and he only uses the Democratic Party as a tool. And as soon as the election is over with, if he doesn't win, he'll go back to being an independent. He never really, he may support some of the ideas of the Democratic Party, but he is not a Democrat.
And Byron, who do you like best?
Actually, I would vote for Steyer, Yang, or Bloomberg.
Okay.
I don't know what the problem with Democrats about millionaires and billionaires, but when those people, when a billionaire Democrat votes Democratic, he's not voting in his best interest. He's voting in the best interest of the country because he knows he's going to be taxed more heavily. So when a Republican billionaire votes Republican, they want a tax cut. But that's not true of billionaires that are Democrats. And Yang, I like his ideas. Just give the people the money. It would make a huge difference in the country. It would make a huge difference for people in general. It would probably take care of part of the... and don't say it's all going to be spent for drugs and alcohol. That's a bunch of hogwash. I'm 78 years old. I've dealt with people all my life. And that's just total BS to say things like that. That's all I have to say.
All right, Byron, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. Well, we're getting the pulse of the public here, finding out what they thought of last night's Democratic debate. And we're hearing, I think, from many, many sides. Captain Tim writes this to the guy who called in who was impressed by Governor DeSantis's lip service. Make no mistake, the Sierra Club's report card was accurate, if not lenient, on the governor. DeSantis merely gives lip service and nothing more. Watch and see, writes Captain Tim. And Kelly writes this, I support Yang and I'm sickened that he was bumped out of this debate. The polls are contradictory. Any thoughts about this? I think the Democrats require that you have to have a certain percentage, and I forgot what the percentage was for this particular debate, but it was somewhere around 5%, I believe, in a national poll. Should that be the justification? I don't know. I think people need to come up with a better model and propose it. And then see if they could do a better way of selecting the people for the debates. Sid writes this, I support Amy Klobuchar. She is intelligent, eloquent, and experienced at formulating policy. She is progressive on important issues, but also pragmatic, which I think is needed to actually implement policies and put the country together as much as possible, writes Sid in Tampa. And let's go back to the phones. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF in Tampa. Oh, our caller just dropped off. Here's some more emails that have come in. Tara writes this, Bernie is the best Democratic candidate, but will U.S. citizens really vote in a socialist government? That's Tara's take on Bernie Sanders. And then Eric writes this, please listen again to the question asked by the moderator. The question was, can a woman win the election? Not, can a woman ever be elected president? Obviously, a woman can and will be elected president. You posed a question different than the moderator asked. The real issue is whether or not a woman can beat Trump in 2020. Bernie answered the wrong question. To think a woman will never be elected is absurd, writes Eric. That's part of Eric's long email out there. Eric, thank you for that. And then Jimmy in Tampa said, none of these candidates has a chance against Donald Trump. He has too much charisma and class. And Jimmy goes on to write, the tiniest hope they have for Dems is final impeachment, writes Jimmy. So there's a Trump supporter saying that none of these candidates has a chance against Donald Trump. So, Jimmy, thank you for that. And... coming up in the next hour, you're going to hear NOLA. NOLA will be hosting the Midpoint program. I'm Rob Lori. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And here's Tim writing back. He says, one of the best things about Sanders is that he is an independent. Partisanship has just about ruined this country's government, in my opinion. I vote for ideas, not for candidates, writes Tim. Well, if you want to comment about anything you've heard here for the past hour, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 or record your comment about this program on extension 115. Try to keep your comments under 40 seconds, and There's a way to re-record your comments. So if you flub the first time, you can always go back and re-record the comment and make it perfect. So call your comment into 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play those comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Clark for answering the phones today. I'm Rob Lori. This is 88.5 WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, and points beyond. And we're going to go up to Washington, D.C. right now, get the latest news from NPR, including that breaking news about the impeachment.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi.